Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting. Eric here. Welcome to this special bonus pod of Adventures in Collecting. We had the opportunity to sit down and chat with the Marvel Legends team over at Hasbro following the wrap of PulseCon and their special Hasbro Pulse Premium subscriber event 1027 to talk all things Marvel Legends. So without further ado, let's cut to the conversation that I had earlier today with Dwight, Dan, and Ryan of the Marvel Legends team.
So the number one question that we get at Adventures in Collecting from people, like anytime we have access to anybody, and especially, you know, anybody on the Hasbro team, is when is X character coming? What's your collective or preferred way for fans to get those requests in front of you?
All right, so yeah, I'll start it off. Sorry, I am not in my normal seat with my setup behind me, but still wanted to jump in on this interview. But that's a great question, Eric, and I think no one has ever actually asked us that before. So I'd love to get Dan and Dwight's perspective on this, because when we're at the cons or in these virtual type settings, you know, most people know that we can't answer like what figure is coming when, because that's a lot of our, you know, marketing and the excitement for figures, whether they're comic characters or upcoming movie stuff, that is very, you know, spoiler sensitive. So I think what we do, you know, Dan and I, we love sticking in touch with the community. We watch a lot of like YouTube videos and live streams, and I think when fans put thoughtful effort into, you know, characters and provide a rationale for why they need to be done, you know, maybe there's an anniversary coming up, or this figure has never been done in Legends, or it was done in Toy Biz, you know, 15 years ago and can use an update. I feel like we're more receptive to that. And those types of comments and feedback get our minds thinking more from a marketing perspective. So that's what I'll say.
Yeah, for me personally, I mean, I don't think Ryan takes enough credit, but he and I lurk a lot on a number of different, you know, people and influencers and websites. And I thought this was a really thoughtful question, because it is, I was trying to think of myself, like, what was like the best way? I think, you know, some websites do a really good job of having their fans like do like most requested like characters and things of that nature. So if we see something like that, either on YouTube or on one of those websites, we definitely check it out just to see. To Ryan's point, I think those that make very thoughtful suggestions with a lot of consideration, rather than just like, this is my favorite X, Y, and Z character, I think that's what catches our eye too, right? So, because it has to make a business sense for it. So I would say like a preferred way would try to get like some sort of, for like AI for Adventures in Collecting, you guys do an episode where it's like, we pulled like X amount of like fans, and this is like the consolidated list. That'd be an easy way for us to like see what the community wants, you know? That's no guarantee that it will happen, right? but we try very hard to make sure that, you know, we get a couple in there that are definitely hitting things that fans want. That makes sense.
Awesome.
I think one, checking those kind of year end or year beginning polls that get posted on different communities is a great way to kind of see a collective group thinking. I also like seeing what the customizers make out there. So even if they're not directly asking for a figure, when you see how they can turn other figures into other things that they wanted, you know, for themselves, it kind of just kind of sparks something to remember, build formulas and stuff to kind of think about how we can turn some of those kind of fan desires on when the opportunity arises. And then I also have Jesse, and Jesse will constantly send us updates on things that he's been seeing out there as well. So I honestly don't need to turn on the internet very often to get bombarded with things from Jesse and the likes of Ryan and Dan when they're perusing the boards and finding tons of stuff as well. So I think between those few channels that I use, as well as what the rest of the team hits us with, is a really good way to, you know, get your request out there into the, you know, into the ethos and hopefully find a home somewhere on a shelf somewhere down the line.
Awesome.
I would also like to play Grammar Police just if I could, because what, you know, I feel like people, if they have requests, they should just own it. Say, I really want to see this character. What I feel like a lot of people do is they use everyone or no one as a proxy for I or me. They'll say, everyone wants this figure. And it's like, dude, you want that figure. Or they say, no one wants this figure. And it's like, that's just, you don't want that figure. So yeah, just be, you know, speak the truth, right?
Good point.
Yeah, true. True. And there's a lot of characters out there. Speaking of new characters, you guys have talked at length about, you know, the Vulcan that you announced at PulseCon, and you've talked about, you know, the fact that he's going, you know, in all likelihood, this body mold is going to be replacing the Bucky Cap mold. But what I wanted to know is, kind of deeper into that, did you go into the design of the character knowing that you needed to replace that mold? Or was it something where you were designing the character and then once you kind of got those first test shots back, you were like, wait a second, like, this is way better than we thought it could have ever come out. And like, now we can see it replacing this mold going forward.
No, I think we actively sought out for a good base body equivalent to do that for. Over the past couple of years, we'd have characters that required just funky boots or, you know, weird shoulder pads, and it never allowed us. And because it was only a partial kind of piece, we always just kind of defaulting back to the bodies we had and fitting those parts to it. And then when we came across Vulcan's design, we're like, oh, fantastic. We finally have an all clean body that gave us the opportunity and the time. And honestly, we had the budget at that point in time in the year as well to take the money aside and focus on making an all new base body that we will hopefully get multiple years out of going forward, and kind of aligning those points of development around, you know, what is that character, and kind of laying out. We lay out the whole year, you know, a few months before the year, but it evolves and changes throughout the year. But kind of when you can lay out, you know, half a year's worth of build a waves, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. Look, we have all of these characters that we want to get accomplished. How are we going to do that? And then you can kind of start checking off what gets built from where, what is all new. You know, like Psycho Man was all new and it was great, but that was a very much a one-off. Where doing it this way, it's like, oh, cool, we have a great body that we can put in at this point in the year, and then we can think about going forward where that could be used in the line to, you know, replace the, you know, Bucky Cap in this instance.
Well, the Bucky Cap mold served us well served us fans well for many years. So
sure,
thank you for your service, Bucky Cap.
pour one out for Bucky Cap. There we go.
Yeah. So, one of the things that's kind of always coming up with Marvel because of how long it's been around is, you know, these anniversaries, right? So whether it's the anniversary you guys are celebrating right now with the Marvel Legends anniversary in Toy Biz, specifically the 1960s is a huge decade for Marvel. There were a lot of new characters that were created and a lot of anniversaries coming up. But Marvel is marketing 2022 as the year of vengeance. And there are still some Ghost Rider looks that we have not seen in any form of action figure yet. Do you guys look for opportunities like that specifically to try to check some of those boxes and get some of those alternate and lost looks, you know, into the line?
Yeah, with so many anniversaries, like you mentioned, the early 60s was a very ripe time for, you know, the Marvel to create a lot of iconic characters. We're not really able to tie into every specific anniversary. We focus more on kind of broad anniversaries like Marvel Studios 10th, Marvel's 80th, which was obviously huge programs. But sometimes, you know, when we're just aware of things, we like to just put it out there, right? Last year was I think it was the 30th anniversary of the Infinity Gauntlet original comic series. So, you know, we did that classic Thanos. And then for 2022, it's going to be the 30th anniversary for the X-Men 92 animated series. And so we kicked off the VHS program in that. So we like to do to sync it up where we can. With regards to Ghost Rider specifically, we've done a couple of cool versions. You know, Danny Ketch is still out there. We know fans want him. He's on our list. And I think we'll continue to look at various Ghost Riders specifically in the future.
Yeah, if we could, Robbie Reyes.
He's on the list too.
So I see Dan, you doing your dance.
Robbie, I want to get Slade, the half centaur Ghost Rider, just because it's just stupid and amazing all mixed together. So I want to get that guy in there somewhere.
Yeah, there's some great designs in that world. Even Blackheart. There hasn't been a Blackheart Marvel Legends figure in a long time. So. So speaking of characters and looks, a lot of characters from the Marvel Universe have appeared with some very unique looks in the Fortnite games, with Hasbro now producing 6-inch scale figures for the Fortnite franchise. And, you know, there's precedence for previous brand crossover, you know, with the Marvel and Transformers crossover. Do you guys see an opportunity there to cross over with the Fortnite team, or maybe expand the Gamerverse line now that brand is kind of in-house too?
Yeah, that's a great point and great question. You know, when the first skins of the Marvel characters came out in Fortnite, I was going crazy. You know what I mean? Because I really liked the look, and I was like, man, those look really dope. Yeah, I mean, I think there's always an opportunity. And like you said, we have this, you know, the benefit of now having an awesome 6-inch Fortnite line in. I will say there are a lot of complexities when it comes to those type of like crossover type of things, right? I think the most recent thing that we did was the Expanse with the Transformer team, right? And that took a lot of back end work that's not visible to everybody, right? In terms of business and things of that nature. And That turned out pretty awesome. So I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of possibility, but I do want to point out that like there are so many characters and there are so many different corners of the Marvel Universe that we try to tackle every year. So I don't know if it's going to be anything immediate, I would say, right? In terms of the Gameverse subline, you know, Dwight is a big fan of, you know, the Spider-Man game and things of that nature. I'm a big fan of the Spider-Man look from the game too. So like, we're always looking for opportunities, right, where we can grow. But that being said, we can't reveal right now that we're going to activate on anything. But I would say specifically for that Fortnite question, you know, there's probably a lot of other, you know, back end business stuff that we would need to tackle at this point. But yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
You mentioned that the Spider-Man line, that Miles Morales that's in the Armadillo Build-A-Figure wave. That's like the easy winner of that wave. That figure is unbelievable. So
you don't like J. Jonah? I love J. Jonah's like finger pointing, you know.
J. Jonah's easily one of the best likenesses you guys have done with that inkjet, but this figure like surprised the heck out of me. It really, really did. Like between the hands, the like shock hands, just the articulation in it, it's awesome. So people, you know, all over the world are getting their Sentinels. And now people are thinking, of course, like the next thing, the next HasLab. Do you have an update for everybody on where we are with Galactus? Where is he in production?
We are at check model build, which is where the digital sculpt files get sent over to our vendor and they start breaking that apart and laying it out for actual tooling models. So we're in the first stage of tooling models now, which is great because we are at production with the Sentinel, or we've wrapped production with the Sentinel, and we're able to take that and apply all of our learnings from the Sentinel into the model stages for Galactus. So we can, you know, look at what worked well and what could work better and adjust accordingly. So actually, I think our engineer asked us to go into the office this week to review some new joints for some of the parts of Galactus. So we're right at that early, you know, building the models so that we can create our tooling masters off of that.
Awesome. Yeah, can't wait to see picture updates of that thing. Cannot wait. So lastly, you guys produced a lot of figures in 2021, and with 2022 on the horizon, and I know, Dan, you posted you guys are going to do your fun draft again, But I just have to ask to each of you, what was your favorite figure from 2021?
All right, who wants to go first? I got to think about this.
Let's put Ryan on the spot since he's distance. Let's make Ryan answer first.
So the question is, what is my favorite 2021 figure? Is that the parameters here?
Yes.
Well, I think an easy pick is MODOK, because that was such a fun figure to do. I didn't have the Toy Biz one from back in the day, you know, getting to work with Tony and Dwight and even our packaging team on it, because we had to go to a closed box and they had to figure out how to dismantle him to fit in the box. Was kind of a cool thing that we had to plan out on the Legend side with Jason and Ben, which was a fun challenge. And I just think he looks great. The Mr. Potato Head feature that he can hold all the pieces inside of himself, I thought was awesome. When the team said, oh, we can't talk about it yet on a stream until we test it, until we drop test it, I was nervous that we would lose that, the ability to do that, but I was glad it stayed in. So I'll say MODOK.
All right, who's next?
I got one. I'll go. That was a good one, Ryan. But I think for me, getting a chance to dive into the MC, I mean, actually, I can tell you right now who my pick is going to be for next year, but I don't think it's been revealed yet. So I'm going to have to keep my mouth shut for a little while longer. But I already know what my favorite figure for next year is going to be. But going back to this year, I think my favorite was this big guy.
Nice.
I think the Ironmonger just turned out amazing. The scale, the size, the fake kind of working pistons and stuff on his back, all the little added swappable pieces for his forearms, and just the overall just kind of giant hulking figure that he is, I think wins out for me. There's a lot that I loved from this year, but I think he's definitely top five material for me. I guess it's almost the end of the year, right? It's time for us to start looking back and making our top 10 favorite figures from the year ourselves. So,
yeah, Eric, I didn't tell Dwight we're drafting, so Dwight doesn't know that he needs to draft. This is how Brian and I cheat. We try to like tell him last minute so he doesn't strategize, and then we just like do our own like mock draft. You know what I mean? So for me, it changes every day. So I'm going to cheat and pick two. So one of them is definitely has to be Shang-Chi. I think Shang-Chi, just for me personally, has a lot of significance, right? So for me to see like an Asian American type of representation in action figure form, even though it's not the first one, I know a lot of people are yelling at me, that's not the first, you know, whatever. I just think for me to help develop that action figure line, I think it meant a lot to me personally. But the figure that I think I would choose right now is probably Zombie Cap, because I remember I just think it's so fun to play with. Every time I look through its leg and I could like see like through it, and I still see it like articulates, I'm always like, man, Dwight and the team did such a great job with that. And and I'm a big fan of What If, the show, so, and a big fan of Captain America. So yeah, that figure is just so fun to play with. I get to just see it, and so for today, that's probably going to be my draft if Ryan or Dwight doesn't snipe it from me.
Oh man, now I feel like I messed up your master plan.
Yeah, I know. Now you give Dwight all. Now you get. What about you, Eric? What's your favorite figure of the year?
So you know, I'm primarily an MCU collector, but I got to admit, my figure of the year this year is a non-MCU figure for like the first time since I've been collecting Marvel Legends. My favorite is Modular Iron Man. Nice. I was honestly, and you know, kudos to somebody we all know, Jay Hernandez. One of his videos, you know, he's been on our pod before too, but he showed off the video of the Modular Iron Man, and I was just like, man, I need that for like my 90s little 90s Spider-Man side collection that I have. And that was one where when I got him, like, he didn't go straight to the shelf, like he lived on my desk, and I just kept posing him and playing with him for weeks. It was that was absolutely a knock out of the park, from the pinless articulation to like the paint. I love the metallic hits. It's just, that figure is perfect.
Yeah, stop showing them my picks, man. That's probably going to be in my draft too.
Shout out to Jay, because I don't think it's technically a 2021 figure. I think the black-suited Spider-Man is, you know, the figure that he revealed and reviewed, right? That would definitely be in my top 2022 items, right? I don't think we're counting that, right, Ryan, for 2021. But, shout out to Jay. And, yeah.
I think that's a good point you made there, Eric, about, like, you know, what makes it to the desk as opposed to the shelves, you know, like, what are those characters? Like, for here, right around me, I have Ironmonger, I have Hydra Stomper, I got 20th Cap, I've even got Lady J hanging out with some [S2] Nice. [S1] Of these guys. So, you know, those are, you know, the ones that just kind of, the ones you want to look at a little bit more often, you kind of keep where you're, you know, where you're working first before you go to the vaults in the basement with all the shelves and stuff.
Yep, the other one that did that for me, the one that would have been the winner had it not been for Modular Iron Man would have been Surtur. Because Surtur was literally just sitting on my desk with, he's still here. He's right here. I can't put him in a shelf any, first of all, he's too tall for most of the shelves. But secondly, just the same thing, just the fact that something that large can move like that is just, yeah, I mean, it's a Marvel legend for a reason, right?
You're making Ryan mad.
It's easily 1,000% cooler than that Quicksilver.
1,000% cooler than Quicksilver.
I think I know what Dwight's favorite new toy podcast is going to be to listen to every week.
Oh, man. And this is where I get blocked by Ryan. I finally get that Dwight follow, but I'll get blocked by Ryan after it. So I'm netting zero. Guys, I think that's going to be time for me. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. This was super fun, and I can't wait to see what you guys have next.
Yeah, awesome meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Thanks, Eric. Man.
Keep it up, man.
Keep it up.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.